Shalom to all. Today's office cholin daf nun dalad. We are talking about the fourth line with the word Yosef. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Mars Mem Shar Bas Biakav Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. I always have a little bit more regarding Drusa. Remember that's when the animal is clawed by a wild animal. So the Gemara tells us Yosef Yisrael Rishmol Bar Marta Kamid Rav Nachman. He was sitting in front of Nachman of Yosef and Kamar. He was sitting and saying Drusa Shamru. This Drusa the Chazal said Tzricha Bedika Kenag Bnei Me'ayim. We have to check by the Bnei Me'ayim, meaning basically by the entire inside area, making sure that it doesn't absolve Drusa. So Amar Ali Rav Nachman. That's Rabbi Gerser. Rav Nachman told him Hoyle Kim, which is an expression. That has to be checked from the kafa till the atma. Now the question is, my kafa, what's kafa? Kafa literally means spoon, so what part of the body is being referred to as spoon? Even if you want to say kafa diyada, it's referring to the spoon of the hand, which in an animal's body would be right by the shoulder. Well, hainu kenegid b'nei me'ayim. That's the same thing as by the b'nei me'ayim, which is no different than what Rav Yitzchak Shmuel Bar Marta had said. Rav wouldn't be adding anything on. Ella must be mikafa d'maycha ad atma. It's from the spoon of the brain, basically meaning the skull. The animal has to be checked from there, from the base of the skull all the way till the atma, which is the back by the leg, and only then we'd be able to say it doesn't have a problem with drusa. Continue to discuss this. Kisal Kavchia Bar Yosef, when Kavchia Bar Yosef went up, meaning he went up to Eretz Yisrael from Babel, Ashachinu Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shlakish. If I Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shlakish, the Yosef they were sitting at Kamri and saying drusa Shamru, this drusa they said Tzricha Bedika Kenegi Bnei Me'ayim, it has to be checked by the Bnei Me'ayim. So Amrulu he told them Hoeli Kim, again very strong expression of Shvua, Mari Barav Rav Paskin Mikafavad Atma, it has to be checked from the kafa till the atma. So Amrulu Shlakish told him Manu Rav Loyadanalei. Who is this Rav? Who is this Rav? I don't know who he is. I keep on hearing things quoted from Rav, and I don't know who he is. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan told him, V'len Hirulei, don't you remember, La'ose Talmud, that there was a Talmud, Sheshimish's Rebbe Rabba, that he was Meshamish Rebbe Rabba, which means the great Rebbe, referring to Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Rebbe Chia, and Rebbe Chia. Well, they came in also this great expression, Kol Oysen Sharnan Sheshimish Oysen Talmud be Yeshiva. All years that that Talmud was Meshamish, he was sitting, Anishimash Bamida, I was only Meshamish standing, and only the greatest Talmudim sat. And so if he was sitting and I was standing, he must have been very great. And Uman Gavar, what's great about him? Who gave Bakaila, he's great in everything, meaning in Torah and in Chasidus. Now there's Rabbi Yochanan telling Rish Lakish, you don't remember Rav, he used to be over here and he was one of the greatest. So Miyad, Pasuk Rish Lakish, right away Rish Lakish opened up V'amar and he said, Baram indeed, Zachar Asa Ish L'tayv, that man should be or is remembered for the good, meaning of course I remember who Rav is. And Rish Lakish continues, Sh'amar Shmui Piv, they said the following Shmu in his name, Shmuta Ushchuta Ksheira. And after opening up the animal, they found that the Simanim were Shmuta, they were pulled away, meaning from where they were connected to the neck with the regular sinews and muscles. They were pulled away, they were disconnected, but it was also shechted, so it's kosher. Why is that? She after l'shmuta shetayasa shchuta, because it's impossible that if it was really shmuta before the shchita, that it's going to be able to be shechted properly. That's because the veshet, the safikus, is very elastic, and if it was shmuta before the shchita, then it wouldn't be stretched taut and wouldn't have been able to be cut. It wouldn't have been able to be shechted. So from the fact that we see that it is shechted, it must be that they use shmuta after shchita. So of course I remember Rav, this is a great memory that was said in his name. Now once Rish Lakish mentioned this memory, we'll just continue discussing it. Rabbi Yochanan says Yavi V'Yakif, he has to come and compare. In other words, it's not enough to say Shmuta Shchuta is kosher. What he has to do is take the Vashet and be Makif. He has to make a comparison. He has to make another cut in it and then see if these two cuts compare. And if they do, then we have to suspect that it was Shmuta before Shchita and then it would be Pasul. And Rabbi Nachman, he just further clarifies, Lo Shonu this only taught El Shaloi Tafas B'Simanim. That's only if he didn't hold on to this Simanim during Shchita. So then you have to do this check. Avol Tafas B'Simanim V'Shachat, but if he held on to the Simanim and then did the Shchita, meaning on the outside of the animal's neck, he grabbed onto the simanim through the skin and then he did the shchita. After the shmuta shetasa shchuta, it's very possible that it was shmuta and it could still be shchuta anyway, because again he's holding onto the simanim, preventing him from sliding downwards. So it's a very good possibility that it was shmuta before the shchita. We discussed the last part of the Mishnah where it said zeh klal. So I think Mar asked Lasuimai, what's this coming to include? Anytime Mishnah tells us zeh klal, this is a rule, it must be it's including something else which is not explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mar answers Lasuimai Shav Shmaitza, it's coming to include Shav Shmaitza, which we mentioned all the way at the beginning of this parak, that there are seven members of Amayraim of different types of treifas, and that's what's being included in the Mishnah as well. And it comes up from two different stories. The bear of Yosef Rishba, the household of Yosef the trapper, Machu Begidin and Shia, they used to strike the Gid Hanasha of the animal. They would either strike it with a stick or they were able to shoot an arrow at the Gid Hanasha. This is in the back part of the animal. The Katli, it would actually kill the animal. And also, like I made Rehudim say, the came to Rehudim Seira wanting to know if this makes the animal a treifa. Some of who he told him, Chilo Hazal Treifas Yash, are you trying to add on to the list of treifas? You only have what the Chachamim listed in the Mishnah, and it's not one of them. It was something very similar. Of Papa Bar Abba Rishba, Rav Papa Bar Abba the Trapper, according to some, we add in the word debate that it's the householder of Papa Bar Abba the Trapper. They did something very similar. Machal Bekuli of a Katli, they would strike the kidney and it would kill the animal. Also, Kamei Rav Abba, they came to Rav Abba asking, is this considered a trefa? Amar Lui told them, Chil Hosval Trefas Yesh, are we able to add on to the trefas? And the Chal Mashamon Chachamim, you only have what the Chachamim had said, and since it's not listed as one of the trefas, so it's not a trefa. And the meal that means that in one of these cases, after they struck the animal, either with a stick or with an arrow, the animal didn't die yet, and then they shechted it, so it would be perfectly kosher, and it would not be considered a treifa. Ask the Gemara, how can that be? We see that when they're struck in this area, again, with either a stick or an arrow, they die. So how could you say it's not considered a treifa? Clearly, this is something that makes them die. And the answer is that no, Gemara, we have Masera, de'i badri la sama chaya, that if a medicine was spread over that area, it would live, and therefore, it's not considered a semen treifa. And moving on to another Mishnah, which is really the flip side of the first Mishnah that we were discussing in the past couple daf. Ve'ilu k'sheres bebehema, the following things are kosher in an animal. And many of these things are going to be very similar, because as we were discussing the treifas of the previous Mishnah, we said, but if it's not that, and it's something else, it's going to be kosher. So here the Mishnah speaks about beferush, nikva gargaras, the gargaras, the con of the trachea, has a hole in it, oshinistika, or if it's split lengthwise, not widthwise, but lengthwise. The question is, ad kam t'chaser, until how much is allowed to have a hole, and it's not a problem. So Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, ad ki isra italki, up until the size of an isra italki, an Italian isser, and if it has a hole up until that size, it's still perfectly fine. On to another thing, which is not a simon trefa, it's perfectly kosher, if the skull was crushed, and the membrane around the brain was not punctured, or nikav halev, the heart had a puncture in it, and it didn't go all the way till the center chamber, nishbara shedra, if the spine broke, and the spinal cord was not cut, nitla kaved, if the covered was completely removed, but there's still at least a kezias of it, or the hemsis basakaisis, which remember, are stomachs 3 and 2, if there's a hole in them, but the hole goes from one to the other, they share the same middle wall, the hemsis and basakaisis, so if there's a hole going through and through that middle wall, that's perfectly fine, because it's going from one stomach to the other, it's not a puncture going to the outside, or nital hatchol, let's say the spleen was removed, nital akloyos, if the kidneys were removed, nital lechi atachtoin, if the bottom jaw was removed, nital ha'emshela, if its womb was removed, that's obviously in a female animal, v'charusa b'dei shamayim, or if it's long shriveled up, b'dei shamayim, there was a loud clap of thunder or something like that, and that caused it to shrivel up, that's perfectly fine. Lastly, hagluda, if it was completely skinned, it didn't have any skin on it, Rav Meir Machshir Meir says kasher, was the chum pus, and the chum say it's possible. Nothing more gets into this discussion regarding these two mishnayas. The first mishnayas starts out elu treifas. The second mishnah we just read now is elu ksheras. So the question is, which one is dafka? Because usually every time we have the word elu, these are, and then we have a whole list. So that's coming to exclude something. So which one is dafka, the treifas list or the ksheras list? And that's what the Gemara tells us. Itamar stated, Rav Yechon says elu treifas dafka. The mishnah of elu treifas, that's the dafka one. Or Rav Shem Lakshamer, he says elu ksheras dafka. It's our mishnah that the ksheras are the dafka. So the question is, Makamivlagi, what are they arguing about that they're either excluding or including as one of the treifas? The answer is, but Rav Masna, it's Rav Masna's case. Now Rav Masna says, Hai buka de atma de shaf mi duchte, treifa. This buka de atma, the ball of the thigh, if it slipped out of its place, it's a treifa. This is basically the hip socket or the ball of the thigh. That's what enables the animal to move its back leg very freely. A person has something very similar to this as well. That's able to move your leg all around because it's basically a ball sitting in a socket. So if that buka de atma, that ball of the thigh, slipped out of its socket, that's a semen treifa according to Rav Masna. So Rabbi Yechon Rechon says, this is the way we understand. Elu treifas dafka. The one it says elu treifas, that's dafka, and that tells us that only the treifas that are listed in that Mishnah are treifas and nothing else, which would mean that we would exclude Rav Masna's case because it's not listed in that Mishnah. But then we would say, Tana treifas, we teach a whole bunch of treifas, Vitana zehaklal. At the end of the Mishnah, it says zehaklal, which as we had said right before this Mishnah, that that's coming to include certain treifas that aren't mentioned in the Mishnah. And we don't know based on top, Chazel Rav Masna, the Ase bezehaklal. And it seemed fitting to Tana, we should technically include Rav Masna's din in the zehaklal, and that this buka de atma would be a simen treifa. And my time, why would it be included? The damilin atule, because it's similar to something that was removed, just like we had said in the Mishnah, that if nital kaved, if the liver was completely removed, that's a simen treifa. So the buka de atma is like that, so maybe that would also be a simen treifa. That should be included in the zehaklal. And it's because this, Tana ela treifas, that the Mishnah says, these are the treifas. Hani hu the treifa, hadr Rav Masna ksheira. That's specifically telling us that only the list that's listed in the Mishnah, those are treifas. Rav Masna's case is actually excluded from the siman treifa, and really it's kosher. So that's the way Rabbi Yechon looks at it. And Rav Shimon Lanka Shalmar, he looks at it exact opposite. Eluk Sheiras dafka. Then we have the list in our Mishnah of Eluk Sheiras. That's the dafka list. Natana treifas v'tana zaklal. We have our first Mishnah that says treifas, and it also tells us zaklal, which is coming to include treifas that are not listed in the Mishnah. V'chazilad Rav Masna deloy asib zaklal, and it would seem that Rav Masna's case of buka de atma is not included in the zaklal of the previous Mishnah. And my time, why would that be? That's because lavlan kuvei damya v'loy psukei damya. It's not like one of the treifas that there's a hole or puncture, and it's not like one of the treifas where it's cut or sliced or severed. And little to a namilan damya, it's also not like something that was removed, like the example that we gave, if the kidney was completely removed. And so you would think that's actually not included in the trefes of the first Mishnah. However, Tana Eluk Sheirois, this Mishnah teaches Eluk Sheirois. These are the things that are kosher, and that tells us that Hani Hudik Sheirois, Hadar of Masna Trefa, it's only the ones that are listed in this Mishnah that are kosher. Whereas Rav Masna's case, even though it's not listed explicitly as a Simon Trefa, but since it's not listed explicitly as a Simon Kshera, therefore we say that it is a Trefa, and that is included in the first Mishnah. So these are the two opposite ways that Rish Lakish Rav Yochanan understand the Elu Trefas, or Elu Ksheirai. We can keep discussing Gufa, we had just mentioned before, Amar of Masna, he tells us, Hai Bugita Atma, the Shaf Miduchte, Trefa, this Bugita Atma, this ball of the thigh, if it popped out of place, it was out of its socket, it's a Trefa. Now, Varava Amar Rava says, Kshera is kosher. However, Vi Efsik Nive, Trefa, if the ligament is torn, it's a Trefa, meaning it's not just a ball inside of a socket, there's actually a ligament of sorts that connects the ball to the socket. And so if that was torn and it was out of place, then it's a Trefa. But the Hilchos Halacha is, Efsik Nami Kshera, even if that ligament was torn, it's kosher. It has to be that the ligament is not only torn but also completely decayed. Only then this Bukad Atma is considered a Simon Trefa. Can you describe our Mishnah? We had said Ad Kam Dechaser V'Chulu, up until how much can be missing from the Gargaris in order to say it's still kosher. And the coin listed was Ad Ki Isser Italki, up until the size of an Italian Isser. Now Amr Zayir is you told Talmidim Aton you Dilem Schami L'Chayn Shira, that you've never seen this shear, you've never seen what an Isser Italki is. Shire, the way that you could measure the shear is Bediner Kordina, with a Kordinian dinner, because it's basically the same size, and Vahava Kipshita Zutarti, it's like a small Pshita coin. So now they have two different ways of being able to tell the Simon Trefa, it's either like this Kordinian dinner or like this small Pshita coin. It can be found by the Pshita coins in Pobedisa. Now Amar Rav Chana Pseira, who's Rav Chana money changer, that's what his job was, he said that Ili Minai have a Kai Bar Nafcha. I once noticed that above me, meaning standing right above me, was Bar Nafcha. Bar Nafcha is referring to Rabbi Yechanan, because Rabbi Yechanan's father was a Nafcha, he was a blacksmith, so he was called Bar Nafcha. So he says, I once found Rabbi Yechanan standing over me. He asked me for this type of dinner, Lashari Beit Refta, so he could use it to judge case of Trefa to see whether the hole was this size or not. And I want to stand up in front of him, but he didn't allow me to stand up. He told me, Shev Benishev, sit, my son, sit. People are engaged in their craft and their trade, are not allowed to stand up even in front of Tamid HaChamim at a time that they're engaged in their work. And that's because, such as in this case, where Rav Chana wasn't working for himself, he was employed by somebody else, he might lose a potential customer. As Rashi says, his job is to look at all the people in the street that are meandering to and fro and ask them, excuse me, sir, would you like some help? How can I help you? Because he's a money changer and he was there to help people with their money things, and therefore he wasn't allowed to stand while he was in the middle of doing work because he might lose out on a potential customer. So that's the back and forth Rav Chana Pseira mentioned in regards to this coin that was needed for a trefa. Now the Gemara just asked on this, Velay, it's not so, meaning they're not allowed to stand up. But tonight we have a Mishnah that says, that when people came to Yerushalayim to bring their Bikurim, all the people who were working, their tradesmen, craftsmen, they used to stand in front of them and greet them, say Shalom Aleichem, and see how they're doing. And tell them, Achenu, our brothers, people of this place, come in peace, welcome, this is so geshmak that you came to bring your Bikurim. So how could you say that Bali Maniyos are not allowed to stand up in the middle of the work for Talmid Chachamim? So Rabbi Yechon, he answers, that's different. They're only allowed to stand in front of people who are bringing Bikurim, but not in front of Talmid Chachamim. That's because we want to encourage people who are bringing Bikurim to come back, so when they see that a whole big deal is made when they come, they can come and bring their Bikurim next year. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Rav comments on this, come and see how precious a mitzvah in its time is. Because we stand for people who are bringing Bikurim, that's mitzvah b'shaito. Right when the mitzvah is happening, they're bringing Bikurim, it's so chaviv that we're going to stand for them, but when Talmid Chacham come by, we're not going to stand for them. So the Gemara says, no, mimai, from what? Is that a raya? Maybe the only reason why we're going to stand for the people who are bringing Bikurim is so that we're not machshil them in the future, because if they come and they see that no one's standing for them, it could be they're going to get discouraged and they're not going to bring the Bikurim again. So maybe it's only in order to prevent problems in the future that we stand for them, and that doesn't have anything to do with chaviv mitzvah b'shaito. We continue discussing the size of the coin. So Rav Nachman clarifies, kesela ki yasar mi kesela, keiser ki yasar mi keiser. When we say the shear of a sela, the size of the sela itself is included in more than the size of the sela, and the same thing by the iser, it's more than the size of an iser. Now, the sela wasn't relevant to our discussion. It really has to do with something that we mentioned previously regarding the skull of a human. If it's missing a piece, is that considered whole? Is that going to be tam ba'ayel? And the amount mentioned was the size of a sela. Shmuel added on that it has to do with trefes as well. And that's what Rav Nachman is saying, that if the shear of the size is exactly a sela, that is the same thing as more than a sela, and then you have the shear. And the iser is the same thing over here, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, regarding the hole in the kaneh, that it's okay if it's ad ke iser, but let's say it's an iser itself, it's actually precisely the size of an iser, that's included in a larger amount, meaning it's like it's more than an iser, and then the hole is too big, and it would be a trefa. That's what makes an important diok. Amal kesav Rav Nachman, we say Rav Nachman holds ad v'loyad bechlal, that when the Mishnah uses the lashon of ad, up until, that means up until and not including. There's a discussion question we have very often, then we say the word ad. Is it ad v'ad b'chlal or ad v'loyad b'chlal? Up until and including, or up until and not including? As we see, Rav Nachman just told us, the Mishnah said ad ki'isser, up until the size of an isser, that means up until and not including the size of an isser. In other words, if the hole in the trachea is just a little bit smaller than an isser, then that's okay. But if it is a precisely the size of an isser, then that's already no good and it's a trefa. Now the problem with that is, Rav asked Rav Nachman, I'll show you when the Mishnah says ad, it means ad v'ad b'chlal, not v'loy ad b'chlal. Where do we see this? So it comes from Dina B'toma Tara. We know that back in the day, their beds were basically just a bed frame, basically four boards connected to each other. Then they would weave ropes over or through this bed frame, creating a netting so you could put a mattress on top of it. So let's say there was a little bit of extra rope just dangling down. Is that considered part of the bed and it's able to be makabel toma? Or do we just view it like a plain old piece of rope, which is not able to be makabel toma? Plain rope is not a kli, so it can't be makabel toma. So as Mishnah say, chaval yotzei min hamita ad chamisha tfachim, tahar. If there's a piece of rope coming out of the bed up until five tfachim, it's tahar, which means it's not makabel toma because it has absolutely no use. It has nothing to do with the bed. It's just considered a random piece of rope and it's not makabel toma. Now, my love chamisha kilamata, don't we understand from the Mishnah that if it's five tfachim, that's like below, that's like less than five tfachim, and so that means ad ve'ad b'chlal? So we answer loy, chamisha kilamala. When it says five, that means five is really like above. In other words, ad ve'loy ad b'chlal. So if the rope is up until and including four tfachim, so then it's not makabel toma. But if it's five tfachim long, so then it would be makabel toma because it's considered part of the bed. It has a use. Maybe you could drag the bed along with this rope. It's long enough, and therefore would able to makabel toma along with the bed. So we continue asking from the very same Mishnah, Tashma, let's come and see. What does the Mishnah say? Mechamisha v'anasara tame. That if this extra piece of rope coming out of the bed is anywhere between five and ten tfachim, so then it is tame, meaning it could be makabel toma. Now, my lava sar kilamata, is that mashma that if it's ten tfachim, that's like below, meaning that's included in the shear. Once again, that tells us ad v'loy ad b'chlal. So the Gemara says loy, that's not so. Asar kilamala, if it was ten tfachim, that's like above ten tfachim, and it actually is not considered part of the bed anymore, so it's not able to be makabel toma. So questions from here on Rav Nachman. We're going to stop for the day. We'll pick up tomorrow. Continue to ask questions of Rav Nachman, clarifying his shita. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.